And as we've mentioned, the curtain will rise on the government's long-awaited cultural policy today, the first national arts and culture policy in almost two decades. It includes new funding for a number of the nation's arts organisations and an overhaul of the Australia Council, which is our key arts funding body. Simon Crean is the Federal Arts Minister, and he'll release the full policy at the National Press Club today. Simon Crean, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hi, Fran. Good to be with you.
Minister, what's a cultural policy?
Well, culture defines us, Fran. So it's a statement about that which is defines us, and we have a richness in it. It's a richness from the combination of the oldest living culture on Earth and the fact that we've welcomed the greatest diversity of cultures on Earth. And so there's that dimension. But the creative sector is at the core of a modern economy. We do not develop as societies unless our creative sectors themselves develop. So the artist, in many ways, is at the centre of creativity, and a creative society is the key to a competitive, globally engaged economy. So this is something that is about, yes, defining us, something about that invests in the artist, but something that sets us up for the future as well.
So what's the vision you will outline today for our creative nation?
A vision that says that we have to invest in the artist. We have to see the centrality of the artist, but we have to understand that it isn't just about the arts for the art's sake. It is about the connections to the economic development, to competitiveness. Technology, for example, Fran, isn't just about adapting something, it's ever creating applications, different applications with it. We're just about to embark next year on arts as one of the eight key competencies in the national curriculum. We therefore have it linked to our education system. Our respect for our Indigenous culture and the fact that it's producing its expressions in the most vibrant of art forms, this is something that I think will help us bridge the gap.
So in the sense that in the context that innovation is discussed as the key to productivity, you're saying that boosting it, central to innovation, is fostering our creative selves. Yeah.
For innovation, you need creativity, you need design, you need the architects, you need the people who are developing the websites, you need the people who are developing the new forms of communication within a whole range of industries. These are all the creative people. Where does it start? It starts by developing that passion that young people innately have. They have a passion for both the sports and the arts. So we've got to find better ways in which we tap that passion early, nurture it, and create an environment in which people can go on and pursue the pathway. I might say, Fran, that in terms of the creative industries and those, the wide aspect, if you like, about the architects, designers, they constitute almost 6% of our workforce. It's a sector that's growing at almost double the rate of other sectors in the economy. This is where the jobs are, because it's where economies and societies are demanding not just this for entertainment, but for development, for expression, and for innovation, and for new applications. And the other aspect, of course, is the connection to the technology. As we move to the digital age, far more opportunities to develop careers in this. It's the games industry, the natural extension of the films industry, but it's the whole TV, kids, interactive games. It's the whole gamut. This is the exciting time to be doing something about the arts, because it is such a vibrant dimension of our society in any way, but it is a growing vibrancy and a growing significance that we're talking about here.
It's 11 minutes to 8 on RN Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Arts Minister Simon Crean. Minister, I'll come to your specific ideas about tapping the passion early in a moment, but just to go to the nuts and bolts of this, you talk about investing in the artist. How much new money will be on the table here backing this cultural policy?
Well, you'll have to wait and see at the announcement, Fran, but it is substantial new money. There's no point arguing the principles unless you're prepared to commit the resources. Governments and society have to invest in the arts. The reason? Because there's a social dividend, that identity factor that I talked about, that freedom of expression, that respect for other cultures, that inclusiveness. These are values that not only does Australia hold dear, but they're internationally regarded. They stamp us in the international sphere. But there's also an economic dividend, because a creative society is a more productive society.
Okay.
If we aspire to that competitive, productive edge, this is an investment that we must make.
There's been some work done to look at streamlining our arts industries, in a sense. And when we think of culture, we do think of the arts primarily. The key funding body for the arts in Australia is the Australia Council. It's been reviewed. The more controversial proposal from that review is to do away with specific arts boards like the Literature Board or the Theatre Board, which we've had for decades now. Is that going ahead?
Well, this is a matter for the Australia Council itself, and I've been in active discussions with them about it. It's not to do away with what the arts boards were set up to do, and that's to provide peer group assessment so that we're rewarding excellence. What it's designed to do is to recognise that so 20 years on, the art board structure in its current form has not been addressing well the fusion of the arts, where you've got, for example, performances that incorporate modern music with orchestral music, where you've got the Bangarra Dance Company, for example, with the Australian Ballet. It's this creative fusion that is creating, that is producing some of the best of our performances. I saw Secret River the other day, a fantastic play of Kate Grenville's book. Completely different, but it's using Indigenous language. It's translating literature into theatre. This is the sort of thing we've got to be encouraging, because it's what not only Australian audiences like, it's what international audiences are regarding us as being so innovative in. So we need to have a peer group pressure assessment that judges that. And that's what we're talking about. Not getting rid of the peer group assessment, not getting rid of the arm's length relationship that the Australia Council is from government, so it makes these decisions independently, but modernising it.
And Simon Crean, I know you're going to reveal all at the press club today, but just two elements I'd like to go to before we run out of time this morning. You're going to establish something, or announce something called Arts Ready, which will complement what we already have, the Sports Ready, the AFL Sports Ready program. This is about tapping that passion early you talked about. What is Arts Ready?
Well, it's recognising that there's a whole stream of jobs in the industry of the arts that go beyond just the elite dimension. It's the stage design, the costume, the theatre, the programming, all of those sorts of things. If what we can do is to show young people early that their passion can lead to a whole variety of careers and develop an accreditation that is recognised either by the elite bodies or by the other industries, the, if you like, the embedded industries, that would be a great thing.
Okay.
I think the flexibility that we have to find is the pathways that channel the passion, because this is a growth industry.
And just one more element I think you're going to announce today is funding for a new Indigenous language program. Obviously, language is a key part of our culture, but this does sound a little more like education policy rather than cultural policy.
Well, but I've said that this is the significance of cultural policy. It crosses so many other areas. It's the closing the gap. It's the social inclusion. It's the innovation. It's education. But how do you respect a culture and how do you express it unless you invest in its language, Fran? The very first form of expressing a culture was through the verbal form, through the written form. And I think the more we come to understand the significance of the richness of our culture, that identity with our Indigenous people, the oldest living culture on earth, if we're not investing in the language by which they can express themselves, we are denying ourselves the ability to keep building that richness.
Simon Crean, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
My pleasure, Fran.
Simon Crean is the Federal Arts Minister. It's 5 to 8 on Breakfast.